Welcome back to The Real Big Show, sponsored by RealNewsDaily.com. I am your host, Michael Petrelli. I am joined on this freezing night by two Northeasterners from New York City, Liz and Melissa. What's up, guys?
Hi, guys.
Hello.
It's cold as hell here, but you know what? The blizzard was not really a blizzard for us.
So you survived Snowmageddon.
Yeah, we will rebuild.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that we will rebuild here. 14 to 24 inches was called at 10 o'clock. They called 8 to 12 inches. When I woke up at 8 a.m., there was a dusting on the ground. So kudos to you, meteorologists. You guys won the week. And I think Jeremy, who is in Indiana. Hello, Jeremy. How are you?
Oh, I'm well.
I heard you got a little bit, but not a lot.
Not where I live. We didn't get any. We haven't had any snow at all this winter. Two dustings and that's it.
So you've been spared.
Spared. That's if you're not into snow. I dig it.
Bring it on.
It's going to be cold. I want the snow.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the snow too. I actually was kind of looking forward to that Snowmageddon, but unfortunately, the dusting that we got just really didn't wet the whistle. But yeah, such is life.
I have kids too, so we got to get out there and throw snowballs and shit, you know?
Well, buy the fucking snowmaker, man. You got to do it. So anyway, we thought we would, since most of us are snowed in, actually we were supposed to be snowed in, but we're not. But since we're not snowed in, we figured let's talk about some films that kind of remind us about winter disasters. Maybe not disasters in a way of like, you know, Michael Bay, but just kind of things that kind of happened in the world. And, you know, they kind of remind us of those blizzards of yesteryear. So bringing it back to film, as we always do here at The Real Big Show, I'd like to throw it out to the forum here, since you guys are experts now, since I've received many lists about films that have to do with blizzards. Melissa, why don't you start us off?
So I found a ton of movies and I just kept digging and I found more and more and more and I was super excited. So a couple of mine that stood out for me would have to be The Shining, obviously. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. You know, it's the Overlook Hotel and they get snowed in and he goes crazy and, you know, it's a 1980 classic with Jack Nicholson, Stanley Kubrick movie. I can't believe I have to explain this, but there are people who will not know what I'm talking about.
Oh, sounds
I know.
Sounds like the Grand Budapest Hotel. Wait.
Oh, my God. and then, you know, another one, not too far back, but still a little bit far back, The Ice Storm. With Sigourney Weaver and Kevin Kline,
everybody.
Like, oh my God! Right, like Tobey Maguire's in there. Elijah Wood,
Christina Ricci,
Katie Holmes.
Oh my gosh! That's right.
Yeah, so it's a really kind of a '70s, set in the '70s anyway, movie that was. It's hard to explain, but really just kind of disturbing in a lot of ways.
It's a multiple narrative, so there's a lot of those different stories sort of intertwine eventually, but it's intense.
Mm-hmm. It's a great novel too. Rick Moody, get it on.
Yes.
Check it out. If you read books.
You know, I have a pile of them that I sit on every week.
Is that because you're so short?
To talk through my technology box.
And then one that I saw at Tribeca actually a couple of years ago, and it's been all but forgotten, but is a really cute movie called Snowmen, and Ray Liotta is in it, Christopher Lloyd's in it, and it's these couple of kids who decide they need to be remembered, and the only way to be remembered is to build the most number of snowmen or something. And so they enlist the whole school to, in the span of like 12 hours to like build the most snowmen. And it's just like super fun and really, really cute. And it's a very sweet sort of a movie. So that's just another one to like throw in there as far as a cute movie.
Cool.
That people might not know about.
So I ask this question a lot, but I'm going to ask it with this one because it kind of makes sense. What kind of films work best with blizzards or winter storylines. Does horror work better? Does thrillers work better? Does dramas? Does comedies? What do you think?
Oh, I think it's ripe for horror.
Kids films.
Oh, well, yeah, as of this year.
Yeah, right?
Last year, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah, I think horror is the best because of what it brings. I mean, you're talking about the unknown and stranded and all those other things. It's really a creepy thing.
I like the horror bit. I'm gonna jump in here. Yeah. Who's gonna oppose me? Nobody. All right. That's what I like to hear. I think there are two really great examples outside of the one that Mel already mentioned with The Shining, but 30 Days of Night, the fantastic vampire movie.
Awesome.
That takes place up in Barrow, Alaska, which is the northernmost populated city, and I use that loosely, in the Arctic Circle. Danny Houston plays one of the creepiest looking vampires ever. Great movie, even though it's got Josh Hartnett in it. You can actually look past that. It's really, really quite frightening and one of the better vampire movies. And to kind of piggyback off of that, Let the Right One In, the fantastic Swedish vampire film that was horribly remade here in the States with Cody Smith McPhee and unfortunately Chloe Grace Moretz, who I have a very fond love of, who I think she's fantastic. It's just a shame she was put in that role. But Let the Right One In, I think, is the best vampire movie ever made. So the snowy landscape of Sweden really does a lot to capture the essence of vampires and vampiredom, and it really flips the mythology of vampires. So I dig it the most.
Well, I agree with both of those, but I got to swing it back to Danny Houston because I love that guy. And I'm telling you right now, his portrayals that have been going on, and Liz can speak to this with An American Horror Story, he adds such a different level to that show when he's on that he makes the show better every time he's on the screen. And with 30 Days of Night, that dude, I agree with you. That was one of the scariest vampires I've ever seen.
It was good. It was good as hell.
So
yeah, I think Danny Houston is one of those actors that he's been around for a really long time, and perhaps most people don't know him by name immediately, but as soon as you see him, you're like, this guy's in everything.
Yeah, he's like a Michael Caine.
He's incredibly different roles. Like, he's just so good, and he owns the screen in this, like, creepy, comfortable, natural way. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, totally cool. But I mentioned him, Michael Caine. I always joke about it because he's like in every fucking movie. I actually just was watching on TV while we were talking. They just showed a preview for The Kingsman. And literally, Michael Caine's in it. I was like, yeah. What? So
the man is everywhere.
He is in everything.
Yeah, I just rewatched PCU recently, and I don't know if you guys remember, but there's a character in there who his senior thesis is that at any point in time, you can either find a Michael Caine or Gene Hackman movie on TV.
Yep, and then what's the movie that he comes across with the two of them together?
Oh, I can't remember. I just watched it again too.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, it is. It's on HBO Go right now.
And Richard Dreyfuss, which is going to come up in some of these wonderful winter films, I'm sure. Richard Dreyfuss.
What about Bob? Oh, wait, that's not winter.
No, it's not
Bob. But
hey, we might as well get there, though. How about Groundhog Day, bitches?
Yeah.
Ooh, yes. Such a good choice.
Yeah, because that's got a little bit of snow up in it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Or a lot of it, you know, whatever.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Or the iconic Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
John Hughes, baby.
Oh, so good.
You know, you think of actors that passed, and John Candy has got to be one of those comedic actors that taken way too early, but he left so much stuff.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing to be able to watch, you know, some of the funny classic movies that that entire genre of comedians put out. And you know, just seeing some of them, cross paths, like having a Steve Martin and a John Candy in the same movie, it was like commonplace in the 80s. You know, it's like, Eddie Murphy and such and such, and Dan Aykroyd in a movie together. It wasn't a big deal. These days, it's like you get like what? Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell?
Right.
No. Whatever means This Is the End had all those idiots in it.
That's totally true.
That's true.
Well, chock full of douchebags, if you ask me. I'm not
a fan. Oh, my God. I love that movie. I don't care. Of course you do.
Is Ryan Reynolds on it? No, neither is Dane Cook.
I never live in that shit down.
You should have known better than to open that can of worms, sister.
All right, Liz, what do you got for us?
I love Dreamcatcher.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because, First of all, I'm a huge Stephen King fan, so let's just get that out of the way. But, like, Damian Lewis. Okay, I feel like this was my first introduction that I can remember to Damian Lewis. I don't know why. I'm sure I saw him other stuff, but like he's so creepy in this movie that like that role sticks with me. It's very eerie. And Donnie Wahlberg, you forget that Donnie Wahlberg is in this movie as Duddits.
Oh, yes.
Remember? This was when Donnie was like, I believe like just getting into film, like post or maybe pre Sixth Sense where no one recognized him.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, but this movie is super fucking weird. It's great, like mixed cast: Jason Lee, Thomas Jane, Morgan Freeman. Like it's just eerie and not what you're expecting. And they're trapped in the snow and they get separated and there's this like otherworldly thing going on and you don't know. I don't think you really know what the hell is going on until the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
And it just freaks me out. If you have not seen Dreamcatcher, I highly recommend it. Even if just for like, just the weirdness factor of it. It's not what you're thinking. Well, it's not what you're expecting.
Totally.
We got to talk about Fargo.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, my God. Clearly one of the coolest movies, unique movies. It's such a like iconic classic. Completely set in the snow. Great cast again, total ensemble, really bizarre. How would you even describe Fargo? Like a mystery? Comic, like a dark comedy mystery?
Yeah, I would say it was more like
a dark comistery.
Yeah, dark comistery.
Nicely done, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Dark comistery. So that's just awesome. And The Thing.
Oh, yeah.
Also scary as hell. Super cool. Super creepy. That's also Stephen King too, right? Oh, no.
John Carpenter.
Thank you. John Carpenter. Oh my gosh, that's not right.
Yeah. Good thing Slayton's not on here. He'd probably eviscerate you for that.
He would be so mad at me. Oh, I'm gonna get angry messages. I'm mad.
Yes, you are.
I am.
Yes,
you are. But that's awesome too. We've skirted around the issue, but Frozen is a huge movie in the snow.
Are you talking about the one where the people are stranded on the skylift?
No, I'm not talking about that because I still haven't seen that and I want to see it so badly because it sounds insane.
Is that Kate Beckinsale?
No, she's not in that.
No, that was she was in the
Snow Angels. The David Gordon Green movie, which is fantastic.
No, I know what she's talking about. It was like a action thriller film that Kate Beckinsale was in just a couple of years ago.
Was that one of those movies? What's it called? Where she's the lycanthrope? What the fuck are those movies called?
Underworld.
Yeah,
Underworld. Which I enjoyed the first one. Thank you very much. I've enjoyed all of them, but that's only because Michael Sheen was in it. So that's the asterisk. There.
White Out.
You're one of those people.
White Out. Yes.
She was in Snow Angels, but she was in White Out.
Yeah.
That's what we were thinking of.
Is it anything like Wipe Out?
No, it had Tom Skerritt in it, though. If it had Tom Skerritt in it, you know it's good.
Yeah, just like Top Gun, because that's good.
Yeah.
Alien.
Is it wrong that every time I think of Tom Skerritt, I'm totally thinking of, I must be thinking of the wrong person because I'm going to look him up because now I feel like if I'm wrong, I'm going to sound like a total ass. Nope, Tom Skerritt. Was he not in Poison Ivy?
He was.
Yes, he was.
That every time I hear his name, is it sad that that's what I think of?
No, it's pretty much what you should think of.
Yeah. Sorry, since legacy lives on.
Yeah, I was like, him and Drew Barrymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I was like, that's naughty.
Yeah.
I was all about it, though, you know what I mean? That time. Bring on the Drew Barrymore, you know what I mean?
Yeah, come on, let's be honest.
Why not? Yep. Yeah, she passed through the gates, the pearly gates of middle age at some point, and kind of disappeared off the face of the planet, and then she wound up in an Adam Sandler movie.
Or five.
Or ten, yeah. And that's kind of what happens when you reach middle age and you want to act.
In Hollywood, yeah.
Yeah, you wound up in an Adam Sandler movie. Oh, sadly.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to throw out some more snowy movies, goddammit. You guys are getting off the beaten path here.
Sorry. All right, bring it on.
Gosh. I'm going to do three, and there's nothing you can do to stop me. First one, Werner Herzog's documentary. That's for you, Michael. Documentary, Encounters at the End of the World, his documentary on Antarctica, which is stunningly wonderful. Oh, so if you haven't seen that, get there, people. The next one is A Christmas Story, the Christmas classic, based on Gene Shepard's wonderful novel, In God We Trust and All Others Pay Cash, based in South Bend, Indiana. What's up? Or Hammond, Indiana. Represent, like I said, all good things start in Indiana.
You notice how he said based in sin first.
But I said South Bend, smartass. And then the last one is Adam McGoyan's superb The Sweet Hereafter. Just a gorgeous, gorgeous movie. One of the more depressing movies you can watch, but it is outstandingly wonderful. I saw a film that was very similar to it at the Indianapolis International Film Festival, where it won the grand prize, called Bluebird. It had John Slattery. I can't remember who else was in that movie. Fantastic movie, though. Loved it very much. And it's also very snowy as hell. So we'll put Bluebird in there. Hell yeah. Number four.
Oh, yeah.
Bluebird. Get there. Lance Edmonds, writer, director out of NYC. He was born and raised in Maine. That's where it takes place. It's a fantastic movie. But Sweet Hereafter, I put that above all others. Snow movies. Even Fargo. I love it.
Yeah, but you're not impressing me. Because you know what? I'm going to give you one that you're not even going to be able to top at this point. The perfect horror film, Dead Snow.
Yes, that was on my list.
I already thought that. All right. If it has a sequel, it has no business on this.
Oh, it's got a sequel. Okay. It's called Red versus Dead.
Okay. Yes. Did you read my review? Because I fucking love the sequel.
Of course you did.
I can't.
Come on. Shut up.
Of course you did.
I'm sorry. I don't even care. Like, I'm totally not even going to apologize. The first one was entertaining, but the second one was just balls to the walls, like totally ridiculous and over the top, and I loved it. And it had Martin Starr in it. That's funny.
As it should be. It was so freaking ridiculous. The first one was ridiculous. And it actually, which is really cool, because I actually saw Iron Sky, which is another kind of like exploitation Nazi film that came out that year. And then you had Dead Snow. They both came out the same year. It was kind of like, oh, wow, you know, like I guess like the Nazi, the Third Reich is taking back over the silver screen. And for me, they were actually like, in a weird way, like a yin and yang of Nazi films this year, that year. I guess it was 2011, I think it was, 2012. But Iron Sky, I don't know if you've seen it, Jeremy, but if you haven't, you would crack up laughing. It's definitely a film up your alley. And then Dead Snow is definitely not up your alley, but that's okay.
But Michael, you should definitely see the second one.
Oh yeah, it's on my list. I'll get to it this year, I promise.
I'm not above a good zombie flick. I'm not saying that it's a bad movie. I've seen Dead Snow and enjoy it, but it ain't on the same list. You know what I mean?
Well, oh, no. Come on,
it's different. It's different taste.
Just saying.
All right, well, let's bring it back to another kind of drama horror with Kathy Bates and James Caan.
Yes, I was just about to say this.
Misery,
which
still haunts the brick. The wooden, I can't even say it. The sledgehammer. To this day, I cannot watch that scene. And
I can't either.
No, it sets me. There's something about it that, she definitely deserved to win the Oscar that year because she scared the living fuck out of me as a person.
Another Stephen King movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen, like, for a long time, for those who read a lot of the Stephen King books, he loves the winter time for his films, but he very rarely uses, like, snow or something like that to tell his stories. But when he does, it's like adding that now you're stranded. Now I have you. Like I'm now like I've confined you into a place, and it's like all right, now I'm extremely uncomfortable now.
He's good stuff.
I would be remiss if I didn't bring it up because for me, it brings a lot of memories back. God, I'm going to get ripped for this one, I'm sure, from Jeremy, but that's okay.
Get ready.
Edward Scissorhands.
Hey, I had that on my
too. I love that movie. Technically, it's not like... It's kind of Edward Scissorhands made Snow, but I like it.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to is, you know, it is takes place in a place that doesn't have any type of snow. But I think the overall, that scenery, that when he was making the ice sculptures, I think that kind of brings, you know, a little bit more fun to it. But, you know, we are talking about snow here, people. I mean, and that's kind of what it's all about. But we wouldn't be having a conversation about snow if we weren't talking about the ice planet of Hoth and Luke being stuffed into a tauntaun by Han and his life being saved. So Empire Strikes Back.
That's the first movie my husband thought of. Immediately. Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
People of a certain age, that should be the case, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. I got a good one. I'm doing all right.
I'm going to toss a couple more out there. What do you guys got to say about that?
No, I want to get a turn.
Yeah, Melissa, go.
You have gotten seven, mister, and I've got three.
Hey, be assertive, you know? Loudest right, voice wins go. In this forum. I'm going to talk.
You are horrible. Stop.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Trapped in Paradise. I'm just going to throw out there with this silly movie. Anybody remember this at all?
Trapped in Paradise. Didn't it have... Hulk Hogan in it?
Nicolas Cage, John Lovitz.
Jesus.
Are brothers who are on the run and they get trapped in a town called Paradise. And in that town, they learn to get along again and decide not to steal. Oof. Unbelievably cheesy, ridiculous movie from the early 90s. When Nicolas Cage was doing stuff like this and guarding tests and like,
oh, wow,
the family man and It Could Happen to You. He was doing all those kind of movies. But my mom always really loved that movie, so that always has a little place in my heart. Then After Tomorrow, is like Snow like crazy.
Did you say The Day After Tomorrow?
Yeah, she did.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, come on. Okay, seriously?
Yeah, it's got a lot of snow. Okay, it's got snow. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Right on. Stupid movie, but it's got snow.
Oh, God. Hater.
The Gray. Is that helpful?
I've not seen that. Are you kidding me?
The Gray was actually really good.
Yeah, The Gray was good. And actually...
I didn't see it.
Yeah, that was actually really good.
I was extremely surprised. And
it's on Netflix now? I'm going to...
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah.
Listen, anything that has Liam Neeson fighting wolves with like
broken bottles
taped to his knuckles.
The thing is, too, I think that's where the hype got. Like everybody thought it was going to be this big action movie, and it totally isn't. It has like probably like 10 or 15 minutes worth of action in it.
Yeah, it's very big.
But it just really grabs you, and I thought it was really good.
Yep.
And then I'll end with Batman Returns.
Yeah, I can't go with you on Day After Tomorrow. I mean, but I have that. I think that still holds the record as being the largest number two at the box office draw. I think it brought in like $70 million, but it opened up against something else that like destroyed it.
Oh wow!
I have to look that up.
Yeah.
I mean, Die Hard 2. I mean,
yeah.
You got planes in the air, John McClane on the ground. Fucking SEALs and Navy, like snipers and like Army Marines and all kinds of craziness going on. And of course, the Yippee-ki-yay motherfucker.
Yes.
I mean, far inferior, but you know what? It's like, it's still Die Hard.
I can't say that it would be far inferior to me, though. I mean, it was just over the top crazy.
Well, it was over the top. Yeah, that's true. I mean, it was more like, yeah. Well, especially because it's also like one of those time capsule things. Because, like, it's, you know, you go into the airport and you got people smoking. You got, like, you know, you've got just all this. You got people getting through the line in, like, 2 minutes. I mean, you know, you got John McClane carrying a fucking gun on the airplane. Right. And showing it off to a passenger. I mean, come on. So it's kind of fun to watch in that aspect.
How the times have changed.
Yes.
Just a little.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, I am right. The Day After Tomorrow is the biggest opening weekend not at number one, $68.7 million.
What took it down? Was it Avatar or something?
That's what I'm looking for. It was, Jesus. Well, keep talking. I'll find it. I mean, it'll come up at least three more times. Like, it doesn't need to, but it will.
Did anybody watch that Batman Returns?
Yes, Batman Returns.
Okay, God damn it. You guys suck.
can we go back for a little bit and can we talk about another John Candy movie? Can you guys guess what it is?
Uncle Buck?
No, but that's a great movie.
We should talk about Uncle Buck.
We should talk about Uncle Buck because it is super freaking good. But no, think half hot weather, half cold weather.
Summer Rental.
That's cool. The next one I was thinking.
Cool Runnings.
Oh, no. Really?
Come on. I owned this on VHS.
Was it one of those giant Disney classics?
Yes, it was one of those. Exactly. I'm picturing it right now. It's this that huge, overblown Disney plastic containers. Yes. Yep. Guys, Dougie Doug is in this movie. And his character's name is Sanka Coffee.
I remember that.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Come on. It's fun times. One for brilliant. The money, one for the show. What is it? Two to get ready, go team go, or some shit like that?
Ugh. You're bringing up bad memories right now.
Oh, you love it, stop.
I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either. It's one of those that just never happened.
It's just adorable Disney family based on true story thing.
Wow.
It's cute.
Shrek 2, Pete. Day After Tomorrow, by the way.
What?
Yeah, it was Shrek 2.
Wow.
Yeah, so whoever decided to put a Roland Emmerich movie against the mighty Shrek at the box office really wasn't thinking clearly at the time.
Obviously still did pretty well.
Right? Yeah, yes. I think it made $68 million, then it like wound up with like grossing like 140.
Well, it's 140 too much. The movie's fucking terrible.
I like Shrek 2.
No, well, I mean, I'm talking about Day After Tomorrow. I don't have any issue. You know, you put Shrek in context, like as I watch them with my children, then that's fine. I do question why you saw Shrek 2, Melissa, at your age. But, you know, whatever. Whatever, folks. Oh,
damn!
So much hate tonight.
No.
It's snark. That's not hate.
Okay,
fair. Let's be big star. Okay. There you go.
I got
nothing but love for Mel. Nothing but love.
All right, murder. You know what works?
Not Alive yet?
No.
And that's another one I've never seen.
Oh my God.
When everybody started seeing it and started talking about it, I was like, I don't need to see this movie.
It's
and I just never saw it.
Also based on a true story. It was like the Uruguayan
rugby team.
Yes. And they crash and they need to make some decisions.
And they eat each other's butts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really? That's where they eat? The butts?
Well, yeah. It's the fattiest part of the body,
right?
Yeah. So they're literal ass eaters. It's all good.
They literally are. That's the truth, I think.
Yep.
All right, we're getting a little off track here with the ass eating, but
it's true.
That's what happened. All right, I'm getting in here, you guys. We haven't mentioned Snowpiercer, so there's Snowpiercer.
Oh my God,
we're stupid that we haven't mentioned that.
And then I'm going to mention another snow train movie, Trans-Siberian. That movie is pretty good.
Yeah, I was going to go with Runaway Train.
See, train and snow. It's an automatic. Yeah. We need to get Wesley Snipes on one of those.
Well, you know what goes.
complete.
You are right that because Runaway Train-ish, like that kind of train thing works with snow, and also Murders do as well. And
what is it? Murder on the Orient Express also has quite a bit of snow in it, does it not?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So I was going to say The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the original, not the remake shit. The original with Noomi Rapace and, I'm going to mess his name up. Mikhail. Whatever.
Just go Anderson with two S's. If you can.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that version of the actual film, to me, a movie that didn't need to be remade, like The Thing. But yeah, I would go with murder mystery kind of things work out pretty well in the snow because, you know, they hide tracks and shit.
Yeah.
You could, or it could show tracks, you see. They could get some Scooby-Doo up in that ass.
Or there it is again. All right.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to go off. I'm going to throw in another one out there. Melissa, is that okay with you? Can I do that?
I guess.
Beautiful Girls.
Oh.
The great comedy with the guys coming back for their 10-year high school reunion.
It's
such a good movie. All that snow. It's fantastic. I can't speak highly enough of that particular film.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Great movie. Timothy Hutton, Natalie Portman as a hot 8-year-old.
good Lord.
Max Perlich, probably the best character in the movie, if not one of the best of that decade. Love that character. Michael Rapaport, pretty solid.
Matt Dillon.
Noah Emmerich is in that, not Roland, to be confused with the clown that made Day After It's Tomorrow. That's his brother, but hey.
Yeah.
Right on. Lauren Holly. Rosie O'Donnell with a great monologue in that movie. Mira Sorvino, Academy Award winner, as we talked about.
Yeah.
Or you guys talked about on the Oscar One and Done podcast.
Yeah.
I'm glad you listened.
I did. You made some mistakes. I tried to point those out on Facebook.
Yeah.
You
know it, but... How about St. Elmo's Fire?
Man, if I could just hear that song, that's all I need.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a fun movie from the 80s. I mean, you know, the Brat Pack together, Emilio Estevez, Rob Lowe, Andrew McCarthy, Demi Moore, Judd Nelson, Alan Sheedy. Good Lord, I think every one of them was in it except for... Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah. Did you get Mayor Whittingham up in there?
I mean, oh, Mayor Whittingham. Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. But that was Joel Schumacher. And, you know, his career, I would say...
is fucking terrible.
Went down like an avalanche.
Fucking worst director in making movies. Stop now.
He did make Lost Boys and Flatliners and Falling Down. And then he made everything else that was bad after that. So
Batman and Robin.
Yeah, we don't talk about that.
That movie offends me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Batman and Robin.
What offends you more, Batman and Robin or Phantom of the Opera?
I've not seen Phantom of the Opera.
There are different genres.
Yeah, but being offended...
My musical theater being is offended by Phantom.
Yeah.
Although I love... That's the thing, like, that was our formal introduction to Emmy Rossum, wasn't it? Pretty sure she was like kind of a nobody, right?
Yeah,
she's great.
Yeah, but Gerard Butler was not.
No.
He's not in anything. He's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. And
this is
so fucking
Sparta.
Bad. Yeah. And $150 million worth of people went to see that shit. So.
Oh yeah.
Well, just lowest common denominator. It's not real hard to come up with that. Obviously, you know they. That's all the shit that they sling, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you. All right, so you're sitting down. It's fucking cold. You got 12 inches of snow on the ground. You are going to make a big thing of popcorn and hot chocolate. You got to watch something. I mean, what are you watching?
There's so many choices.
Are you watching the snow outside or are you watching something on TV?
Slapshot.
Slapshot. Or you can, I mean, we haven't talked even anywhere about sports movies that take place in the wintertime.
Mr. Alaska.
Slapshot, Mr. Alaska, Youngblood.
Yeah, hockey is good. You got hockey.
Yeah.
What other, I mean, Yeah, I guess Miracle, since it
took the Mighty Ducks.
The Mighty Ducks. I was just gonna say that.
The Mighty Ducks. Good God, help us.
The Flying V.
Sad thing is, I think most of the films that take place in the winter take place in America. I mean, well, how come more films don't take place in Canada where it, like, actually fucking snows?
Right?
All the time.
Oh, Liz, what was the name of that movie at Tribeca?
I am literally literally looking it up right now.
Wow.
I know. Like, immediately, it was like, oh, The Disappear? No.
Oh, it was The Disappearance. Something, wasn't it? Something?
It's like a, it's a backwards title. It's like a, it's kind of like an oxymoron title.
Yeah.
And that is going to drive me crazy. It was really good. It was like this crazy dark comedy. Think Fargo, but darker.
Hmm.
Yeah. It was a brilliant film. This, yeah, it's like this.
So brilliant, you can't remember the name.
I feel so wrong. I gave it.
In Order of Disappearance.
Thank you. In Order of Disappearance. And it's very quirky because when each character gets killed, they're literally, their name pops up on the screen with like a cross or like whatever religion they were with their name as the movie goes along. But it's like based on the murder of his son, and he tries to find this like young gangster killer, and it's. It's good. It's funny and really fucking dark and really bloody, and everything about it was just so cool. I had no idea what it was about going in, and it was excellent. I gave it a great review on the site, I believe.
Bruno Gans, man, you can't get much better than that. Getting his Hitler on.
Good stuff.
Jesus. Well, then you had a film like The Ice Harvest, which I don't think anybody's mentioned yet.
Yeah.
I don't know what's mentioned.
That was a good film.
Simple Plan. Similar. And Billy Bob Thornton as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, John Cusack and Billy Bob Thornton can pretty much carry any film back in that time frame. Actually, that came back out in the 2000s, didn't it? So that wasn't a 90s film. I stand corrected. Neither one of them can carry a film in the 2000s, but it could back in the 90s.
Well, Cusack certainly can.
Did anyone see The Frozen Ground?
I did not.
It's on Netflix. It's definitely not great, but it's kind of worth seeing just because it's John Cusack in a different kind of a role.
Is it a Cusack and Cage?
That's on my list, by the way. That movie I added on my list because I love John Cusack.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it Cusack and Cage?
Yeah.
Frozen Ground.
Well, how can you get any better?
Mm. Well, let me count the ways.
Nick Cage and Kirk Cameron.
Yeah.
You like Kirk.
Yeah, I'd be all for that. I am going to watch that Christmas movie that he's saving Christmas when it comes
just
out.
Just to see it?
Clown City. I can't wait. My review will be so amazingly good.
Oh, my God. That I'm excited for.
Yep. I'm excited for the Scorpion King 4 review.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, thanks for that, Dick. Once again, I do have to admit, I've laughed at that quite a few times. My kids are like, can we watch it, Dad? Can we watch it? I'm like, no.
Oh, my goodness.
No. I wouldn't watch the first one, let alone the fourth one.
Well, you know, you have to watch it.
All right, I'll watch it, maybe.
You got to bring it on. You got to bring it on. You got to do a nice review about Lou Ferrigno and Michael Bain and Rucker Hauer. In their award winning roles. It's classic.
Can't do it.
All right, bring it home. We got three more. Throw three more out for the crowd.
Dumb and Dumber.
Oh. Dumb and Dumber. Is that the winner?
Sort of. Yeah.
Yeah,
the
original it's legit. One.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Cliffhanger.
Yeah, like Sylvester Stallone, of course.
Yes.
I'm gonna have to counter these shitty movies that you keep throwing out. I'll do two westerns, actually, that feature quite a bit of snow. The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That was atomic. Wow. That was atomic, you know what I'm saying? And then Robert Altman's fantastic McCabe and Mrs. Miller with Warren Beatty and Julie Christie. Outstanding movie. If you all haven't seen that one.
Very good.
Get on it.
I thought you were going to bring Django.
No Django for me.
I thought you were going to bring Django to the table.
Nope. I'm out on Quentin.
Forever or just for now?
Just do something that isn't. I've had this conversation about Tarantino.
Don't get
make,
it started.
Yeah, make a fucking movie. Don't make some fucking
remake of a movie.
Well, no, just some amalgamation of all these shitty shots out of B fucking grade movies that you loved as a kid. I'm sorry, jerk off at home. I don't need to see it on screen. I don't need to see it. It's not Joe Swanberg, okay?
Oh God,
who legitimately actually did jerk off in his first movie on screen? So.
White Wally.
He's got another one. He's got another film out at Sundance. And I said to my husband, who the hell keeps letting this guy make movies?
Well, what you ought to ask is, and I've actually met Joe quite a few times. He's a big fan of the IU Cinema, comes here quite a bit. He's a super nice guy.
I'm sure he's lovely.
He is. But he does make bad movies. Question why the actors work with him. I mean, Anna Kendrick another movie with, that's the third one that she's done in a row with him. So why is someone who is clearly pretty talented, right?
Yeah.
And has probably the capital in Hollywood to do really great stuff. Why the fuck is she working with him?
I know. Once I saw the cast, I was like, what's happening?
It's Jake Johnson again, right?
Yes, who I love. Yes.
He's good in his little niche there. I'm trying to remember who else. I'm going to look and see who else is in that piece.
The new one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I just remember those two off the top of my head.
He's allowed to make movies just to annoy the shit out of Brad Sleighton.
please do. It's Mike Birbiglia, Orlando Bloom.
That's right. Yes.
Sam Elliott, Rosemary DeWitt, Brie Larson. Ron Livingston, Melanie Lynskey, Chris Messina, Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, the cast is insane.
God damn it. Why Sam is he Rockwell? In that?
Which means we have to see it.
I know.
I'm a big fan of Sam Rockwell.
I love Melanie Lynskey. She can do no wrong in my book.
I do too. I just reviewed that movie. Which it was fine. I mean, it had its moments. It's a Woody Allen knockoff. She's fantastic in it, though.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I feel the same way about Melanie Lynskey as you do. So I'm a big fan of her.
I want her to be, but like, I don't want. Yeah, I don't want. Like, I love that she's the indie girl, and if you love like good acting, like you go to her. But like, those are the people that you like want to break out for. That like you want them to do. Like, yeah, exactly. Bingo. Perfect example.
She was an American Sniper, wasn't she, Jeremy?
Melanie Lynskey.
Sorry.
is this really a can of worms you want to open up on this one?
Do you
want to
go there?
I'm sorry, but I had to.
Is there snow in American Sniper? Because if there is not, then we can
There is not, thankfully, for everyone who happens to choose to listen. So.
But there's a lot of snow in the Lord of the Rings film, so shout out, Brad.
Yeah, I know he's bummed he can't make it, so he can talk about how much he loves Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings is one of his favorite films of all time, I believe.
Of all time. Let it be known. It's on the record. Yeah. Put it on the board.
Yeah, and he would probably love to talk about it winning an Oscar in 2010, it was, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. As much as Jeremy would love to talk about American Sniper right now, but I won't let him.
Yeah, that's a smart move.
I'm not going to let him.
Yeah.
All right, one more. Bring That Shit Home, Melissa.
Whitewash. I know you guys know I never heard of it, so I'm kind of that isn't a like big one to end with, I should say, damn it. But Thomas Hayden Church has a fantastic
you were talking about this one.
It's actually a really good movie. Like I want to say it's in Canada or something, and it's
Quebec, dude.
Oh, Quebec. Okay. Sorry.
Kind of like Canada, but maybe not. I don't know. It depends on what those people are feeling these days.
Fair.
But he's like, he's just kind of this like drunk, you know, and he accidentally hits and kills a guy in his like, you know, he can't see in the middle of the, you know, road in this fucking blizzard. And he, you know, decides, all right, well, nobody saw me, so I'm just going to kind of like forget about it. And the story unfolds in like who this guy is in relation to him and everybody in the town. And it just kind of like gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And he kind of goes a little bit crazy in hiding out from it. And it's basically almost like a one man show because you're only seeing him and his craziness. And I really enjoyed it.
Interesting. Well, we've given you a shit ton of things to see, if just in case you get snowed in again in another Snowmageddon apocalyptic day after tomorrow event, like they were expecting for New York City and Boston and Philadelphia this weekend. But thankfully, it only happened in Boston, who are all Patriots fans, and they're getting paid back by the Lord Jesus Christ. So go fuck yourselves. But anyway, I do want to bring up two more things before we go, and then we can head out of here real quick on both of them. Chris Pratt is Indiana Jones. It's being talked about. What do you guys think?
Just as long as they don't trot out a 78-year-old Harrison Ford anymore.
Exactly. Just enough already.
I'm almost worried that he's jumping the shark.
Well, do you feel like he's the it guy, so we're trying to cram him into a bunch of films that all at once?
Like, yeah. He's going to hit overexposure really soon.
I think if you're going to pick somebody... but I think if you're going to pick somebody if you're trying to mimic Harrison Ford in any way, shape, or form, trying to get back to the young Indiana Jones, it's definitely better than Shia. So
I agree.
True. Very true.
I would definitely take Chris Pratt overall, but he is Star-Lord, so end of story. Two, the Ghostbusters cast has been announced. Guys, what do you think about Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Leslie Jones, Kate McKinnon, heading the Paul Feig's Ghostbusters reboot?
I love Paul Feig. I mean, he did a great job with what Bridesmaids, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it has amazing potential. So I'm like 50-50 on this because I want to see it, but I'm so anti-remaking those movies. Like, they're so fucking classic. So I'm like hesitant. I want them to do, like, that's hilarious. The four of them, I think it's just going to be fucking ridiculously funny. But, like, I'm nervous about it. Is that weird? I don't know.
Well, I think it's like, would you rather have, you know, like, the old of, like, Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd? I mean, can't have Harold Ramis, you know, but, like, would you rather have him remake it with those guys? Or would you rather have, like, the female cast? And I think... This was like a good choice to have a female cast because you still cash in on all the Ghostbusters and you get all the people from the Bridesmaids. So, I mean, it makes sense as far as like putting a movie out there and everything, but I'm totally with you on like, I don't know if it's actually going to work out. I mean, we'll see, but I think it's going to have to be really fucking original. It's going to have to be like that's the only thing that's similar is the title.
Yeah.
You know, like, please don't make, you know, one of a professor or you know,
don't try to, like, literally remake it. Like,
exactly.
Is one thing, but, like, you can't. It's like, that'd be like trying to remake Goonies or Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Like, what the fuck?
They'll get there. Don't worry. They'll get there.
Oh, I know. I'm just waiting for it.
Yeah. I don't necessarily have a problem with it. I think it's cool that women are getting roles that are like that. I'm not a Paul Feig guy, so if you guys are into him, fair play, but I'm out when it comes to him. It's just not his shit isn't really my thing. I thought Bridesmaids was fine. I really like Melissa McCarthy in it. I do have a soft spot for Rose Byrne, although she played the villainess, so to speak.
She did. Yeah.
So I think it's kind of cool that they're doing it. I'm just ultimately happy that they're not making a third one and then that they're not remaking Ghostbusters with three fucking Zac Efron or four Zac Efron type fucking strokes.
Hallelujah to that.
Which would make me thumb people's eyes out. I just... I got no time for that. So at least they're taking it. It's not a remake. It's a new...
Right.
Take on something that's old. I hate remakes and anything that's based on something else, just on principle. But if they're going to do it, I think that this is fine. The ladies need to get their love.
Yeah.
It's plain and simple. So I got no beef with this one per se.
Yeah, I really thought the internet was going to explode that day because you have your sexist who can't even fathom that there's going to be a female Ghostbusters, and then you have your comic book nerds who had to endure the utter bullshit that the Fantastic Four trailer was that Fox unleashed the other day. And you can check them all out at realnewsdaily.com. Miles Teller and Kate Mara and Michael B. Jordan and Jamie Bell and the utter crap that the trailer wound up being, and rightfully, no one expected it to be anything good. I don't know. I thought the internet may have exploded that day with both of those things happening all at once. But if you haven't seen the Fantastic Four series, stay away. It's really bad, and it just makes no sense why they decided to make this film. But hey, I guess you're going to make Chronicle 2 when you have the director's name.
Josh Trank. I didn't like Chronicle, so.
Yeah, I mean, anything coming out about this film has been really bad. The press on it, the casting, everything. So for me, I'm kind of trying to use this to make my point with Ghostbusters. There's maybe sometimes there's a lot of over-exaggeration to certain things, and sometimes it comes to fruition, which happens to be this case with Fantastic Four. For me, I actually had an issue at first thinking to myself, like, wow, you know, like in my head, I think of the Ghostbusters, I think of the original four. And like what Melissa said and, you know, Jeremy said, it's you don't want to retread over it. And it's kind of just do it and don't make it anything like the original. That's fine with me. I'll be okay with that. But I don't know. I'm kind of happy to see, but I'm kind of over the Melissa McCarthy thing. I think the other three, I like Kristen Wiig. I don't know anything about the other two very much. I did see Kate McKinnon in Life Partners, which I believe Liz had mentioned a few shows back as being a movie that she liked, I believe.
Loved it.
I did absolutely want to see in that, and she was pretty good in it, so I don't have any issues with that. But I'm over the Melissa McCarthy thing. I think she's oversaturated herself over the last couple of years, and I don't think it's her. I think Hollywood has. So I could have done without her, maybe somebody else. Jennifer Lawrence, that would have been kind of funny, I think. She could probably have pulled it off.
See, I'm oversaturated with her right now.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I'm oversaturated with her, totally. Yeah. I mean, even Melissa McCarthy in a certain extent, just because, like, she just has a humor that does not appeal to me. Like, I liked her in Bridesmaids. I thought that was fantastic. But Identity Thief is just burned in my head, and I can't get it out. It was awful.
You know, I saw a reporter, I think this might be one of the reasons why I'm irritated by her. And it's not even her fault, because she didn't say this. But I read a reporter that said that she is John Candy reincarnated. And I was like, fucking kidding me? Like, there's no comparison between the two. Melissa McCarthy was funny as shit in Bridesmaids, but like I said, ever since, like, her stick has gotten pretty old. But that happens to comedians a lot. I mean, we're staying Cook now, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's totally true. You know, they run their course. I mean, Daniel Tosh, these old, they find their niche for a little bit, and then all of a sudden they can't find any more jokes, and they kind of go. So
although,
I guess
I got to interrupt for just a second. I loved her in St. Vincent.
Yeah.
Because she played it really straight.
Exactly. But she didn't do the buddy cop, the buddy whatever, you know, the last three, Identity Thief, the Heat, and whatever the fuck.
I mean, she's clearly talented. I think.
Oh, completely, yeah.
Yeah. So
she's just going too far with one sort type of, character.
Right. All right, well, you know, we touched on a few topics this night. We talked about the wonderful Snowmageddon that hit the Northeast. I'll never say that word again because it will ever be ingrained in my head as the second worst failure in meteorologist history, next to the 2001 debacle from people in Philadelphia will remember this. John Belaris called for close to 25 inches of snow, and I think we got zero, actually. He was subsequently fired the next day for that. So kudos to him for making himself the biggest jackass in Philadelphia history. But anyway, it was great talking to you guys. Glad we all made it out of the wonderful survival. We were all survivalists. Except for Jeremy, who hasn't gotten anything.
He's still a survivalist. It's fine.
I am, in my own way.
That's right.
Damn it.
So for Jeremy, for Melissa, for Liz and myself, make sure you read realnewsdaily.com daily, as we are always posting things. Jeremy's great reviews. Liz's great reviews. Melissa and I knacking out reviews and news and random crap that you always find, and it's always fun. And yeah, we'll see you next week. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.